And it was usually the low part of the trunk, the buttresses, the wings that come out. Who was it that told you about it?
Mr. Lincoln Brown and Brown
Mr. Barnett is a has he made instruments? Has he made
No. The worst thing I know that I used to like to do is far away. He could marry anywhere.
Is he from here or
from here? I'm sorry, I'm going to have an offer. You have seen him after throughout the European. He admits that he's traveling by the Midwest group. He has a large house way below our owner's nightclub. Did you ever see a big house of last finishing the water in my
mind?
One is a single color, a big round one, and one in high skin. I just didn't have to do this.
But he knew something about entrances.
Well, we were not curious. My person didn't know something. I think he did not, but he said he was good to buy and he was good to buy. When he was a boy, he used to play with his groups at night.
Do you know anything else about him from other things that people have told you? Do you know anything else about the harassing the Indians, the things that they've made, or their, anything about their customs?
The Indians are pretty good at it, of course, and how well they for a reason that this map was random, so that's very, very certain that the government is very different. And as we know that the Taliban government will destroy industries either, except for the making of battle plans, where the military is not so different from how the government is large, but the world has some kind of money. So we got more than we do in that sort of problem. This is a man who's arrived in the past half of the year. So, when the Indian, when the Spanish came here, they ran up to the roof and started to spread right up to them.
Now, Mr. Klaas told me that his grandfather, who was a mosquito Indian from Nicaragua, told him about mosquito Indians coming down on his coast as they came down from the fishing turtle in the sea. And he says that in days of like way, way long ago, in the early 1800s or maybe 1700s, a long, long time ago, that the stories were told about the mosquito Indians coming down and down the back was great. I think on right. I have a written down on the beach. It may have been the beach down by the marbles. One of these beaches right here. There was a battle against the Indians from Tamaka. So we usually live around the coast, but we were up in the coast. It comes out to the coast. The battle battle is human beings wearing a ram in the coast. And Mr. Piazza said that they named these mountains, the ski Indians named these mountains in Talamanca, because in their language, Talamanca means place of the blood. Which kind of place of the sound. Do you understand?
No. What I understand from that is Talamanca is a beach. Each Spaniard or most Spain, he carries like 7 meters, you might be say Paula Bernard. So when you come from Wisconsin, and I say Paula Bernard of Wisconsin. Then wherever you go, in any other country, during those time, he has a German name, Paula Bernard of Wisconsin. So that's who we are. And I think was not visited America. I think that the artist is telling them, even the Talamanca horse, he's from Talamanca in Spain, see, he had a surprise name, but Maraguanes, he came from the province of Maraguas, and he had a great name around here.
And so this Talamanca is the name of someplace in Spain,
exactly.
That one of the conquistadors carried to here.
Yeah. So while conquering those places, they treated the Indians quite a bit, according to the history. They treated them quite a bit, and they robbed them, and was already they had them gold. Until death, I think, appears about the time of man, I think. I don't know if it's a German one. I think it's German. So, they took away what they got, they took the gold and they killed them and they punished them. But they couldn't subdue them, so that was what they were doing.
Because I had told the stories about Indians who lived right down along the coast here, down the Black Beach. Sheep would come up.
Where were
they? Sheep.
It's really true, because until now there are still some of the boats inside Tobacco. I don't know if you know anything about their customs. Has a better relation with Indians, especially with those from the inside. So,
Well, let me ask you some questions about your family and your early life so that I understand when you came to Cahuita and what your experience has been. First, I don't know how to write your name completely. Why don't you write it? Because that way I'm sure it's... How did you come to Cahuita? Where was your family and how did you come to Cahuita?
Well, I came to Cahuita with a family. I came alone, adventuring. What I really wanted to do most, in those days, Brasilia was just starting off. My aim was to travel until I reached to Brazil. So I left San Jose and went up to my grandfather's place to spend a week. And then I said, I keep traveling to the places I don't know until I reach.
Until you reach Brazil.
Until I reach Brazil. I said, I might say, if I can go to Panama, work a couple of months, get my fare, then I fly to Rio. And then from Rio, I had to find my way up to Brazil, whether working with a company or something, but they needed men to work, so that's the way I figured they needed. Maybe on a contract. So I left there. When I reached here, There was an art company, Godfrey.
And what?
Godfrey.
When was that?
That's in 1961 to 62. So I stayed up in Hong Kong, expecting to get a job with these people. Then I started working for Godfrey. In those days, it was really bad. So I started all the day here. And the Godfrey company itself expanding and doing more drilling. They were getting out of the country. So when I had last opened the milk and then I worked with them and stayed at Mr. Cook's farm.
You never did work with them?
No, I never did get on with them. They were leaving. So I was working with them, my name is Mr. Cook's. So that's the first time I said, so I really went to the working and farm. But anyway, I didn't like working in cocoa. Didn't like working in the hills. But cocoa, working on cocoa farm was good now. So I said I would go to 6 hours. But once when I went inside there, the cocoa, the way they used to work, the cocoa farm was so much inferior. Though they worked out here, so I figured I wouldn't work in 6 hours to keep going on to Panama. So I'd work from Moon Creek whenever I got enough money and go to Panama. Instead of going to Panama, I had no money. I went to San Jose. Then I started working with my old boss at the Grand Prix. And then I stayed out in San Jose until I had an old girlfriend up here, so I started and I made it up back and we got married. So afterward, I figured out. In San Jose, in those days, a house that cost 10,000 kilometers. To me, it was quite expensive, but now it was a dog cheap. So I used to figure how many years it would take me to pay down 10,000 kilometers for a lot in San Jose, plus building even a small house at 30,000 kilometers. I said, it takes so many years, might as well I leave here and then go to Cahuita. Maybe I'll make with them. But that's the way I did it.
Were you able to, like, to build your house here for much less money than you could have in San Jose? Was that one of the reasons that allowed that it wouldn't be so difficult financially in Cahuita, that you'd be able to get things moving faster here?
I thought so at the time, but really never worked on some. For the reason that we bought a farm, two farms. The cocoa crops were excellent, but the price was low. I remember once we went out to 60 colonies and gave them 100 pounds. Then when it went up to 85 colonies, 100 pounds, we were fed like we were getting half price, and it went on that. Until a long time it went to 110, 120, 100 pounds.
And this was in the 60s?
Yeah, 63, 64. And it goes right at from 80 colonies to 120, 125 and back down. So I just keep oscillating between those prices. And that was really rough for things. As soon as the crop were off, you were broke. And so the money you make off the farm, working really hard, never lost. Keep you working on the farm for a few. So we just couldn't make it.
So everybody out here was suffering during those years then.
Oh yeah, then the year when things went worse, so even Mr. Promo with 15 hectares of cocoa I was to grow the more than the kind. You know, when they first started doing it.
When was that? What was the problem? It was the crop was low?
Price. The crop was out as good. The price. Lots of people were better off if they just get the price they could say.
What was the problem with the price? Was it that where was the price low? If you sold it for...
Well, the problem was, Ghana used to produce quite a lot of cocoa. Brazil, produced by the plant of cocoa. There was banana and much bananas in those days. They had Ecuador and Colombia, plus some Mexican tropical land producing quite a bit of cocoa too, and Puerto Rico, Guyana, which is where they got some cocoa. So they had an abundance of cocoa all around, and the Soviet Union and Japan was competing in cocoa.
What do you mean, they didn't?
Yeah, United States had the monopoly of the cocoa man. Everybody,
so there was no competition.
No competition. They do know that problem, and if one of these small countries do business with a socialist country, well, it can be borrowed or something, business, or they can cut their loans or something. So they just have to keep them busy in the United States until just a couple of years, about maybe 8 years or back, since we really started visiting everybody.
Is that how the price started going up?
That's
how
it started going up.
When yeah. Costa Rica could
do business with just anybody, after 1970.
1970 was the year when
71.
And it wasn't until then that the price started going up. And then since then, since 1970, has the price kept increasing every year?
Never going back down. Just keep going.
So now, finally, those cocoa farms are really...
Well,
so really producing so that you can make a good living.
Well, we can make a living now. But in those days, we'll be around. Well, anyhow, there are other things that were in our favor too, that is in our favor, is that you see the bananas pay more than cocoa if you plant it in large scale. So there are lots of countries that had cocoa farms, cut down their own cocoa trees and plant bananas. So the cocoa got scarce, but the price ran high for those countries producing bananas. Colombia, Ecuador, Brazil, and they here is African country producing banana in large scales. So that makes parts of the difference.
I've never heard an explanation like that. That's so interesting. I've never known that.
I had to know because I found a pitch.
Yeah.
So I was curious to find out why this thing happened. So. Coffee growers having the problem with this. Also, the coffee growers, lots of them because the coffee cut down, banded cut down cane. After the Cuban crisis, so they could, the market that where the Cuban weren't supplying sugar to Costa Rica would participate. So,
it pays to know all about the economic situation of the whole world in order to understand the economic problems of one little country. You have to really understand what's happening all the way
outside, coming right back home.
Yeah.
So that's how things got better.
Up till now, so that this year we have such a poor crop because of the burning.
There was lots of rain last year. Most farmers in the alert.
Are they getting like the agricultural office here? Do they give the farmers any help that's very useful?
I think the agricultural ministry and the extension agency, they're here to give better aid to the farmers. The problem I think with farmers is that they're too much old farmers. It's no use telling an old farmer that can hardly make it to the bush, want to go around, maybe he's willing to do anything, but he just can't do much. And laborers are very scarce. So is that a technical aid that they may want to give them? Maybe they would really like to do it, but they just can't. They are old, and the children have gone away. Right, that's what I'm doing this week.
What do you think when you think about the future of Coweta? Right now, up until today, the economy of Coweta is based on cocoa. But you're right. As I look at it too, I see that the cocoa farmers are for the most part old men, and many of their sons, they've worked so hard so that their sons are able to go to school out in San Jose or even in the United States or any place they want to go.
And they go to the scale.
And they're gone. What thoughts do you have about what's going to be happening in the future if that continues?
Well, the cocoa has a future, but not with the actual farmers, not your children. Some of the children might participate, like those Bokelan children. Some of the budget, maybe. Maybe very few of any others. But I think the people from the central plateau might be coming down, have an interest in cocoa. You know they have interest in everything that where they can make a living. So I think in the near future there will be most of the farming on the side.
So that it will change that the people go, the people, the Jamaican people here will end up selling their land out to?
Well, they might stay in the towns and live like they do right now in the mud. They left their farms, or they might build houses for rent, go work in business offices, stay in town, study some profession or something, but most of them won't be any farmers in 10 years' time. Most of the farmers that you find maybe are natives, but not for.
Do you think that there's a reason for that? What do you think it is that turns the young man away from farming?
Maybe a lack of technical assistance in the first place. First place, I think it should start from school. If you teach them agriculture from school, whichever one of them that really likes it, they will take it from school. But if they don't see nothing much about it, while they're growing, they will always look at farming as something inferior, as they always used to do.
But where does that come from? Where does that idea that farming is inferior come from?
I think that's a real problem.
And yet they were the ones that loved farming.
Especially the colored women.
The colored women, you think?
Most of them. They don't like farming.
But I wonder why. I wonder where that attitude comes from.
I don't know. They either like the children to be working in an office, or maybe a carpenter, a mechanic, or something. But they always say that I don't want you to be like your dad. You're all day long going out to the woods. Look, it's raining and you got to go to the farm.
Yeah, but
Mr. Stockman or Mr. Johnson or Jackson, he go work to his office, he doesn't get wet and see under bread. Your daddy could go burn up from the rain.
What I was going to say is that when I talk to the older people, the other day I was talking to Mr. Cyril Gray down in Puerto Viejo. He's got almost 90 years now, and he's worked as a farmer most of those years in Home Creek and Puerto Viejo. And he was telling me that he loves farming. He loves the life because you have an independence that you can't have in almost any other kind
working
of...
with somebody else.
No. And you'd think that would be so attractive. That's one thing that's so attractive about farming. It's a way of really being independent. And I don't know, I think that that's a very positive thing, you know.
Yeah, it's really positive that farmer lives quite independent. He does what he feels like. He thinks of an experiment and he tries. If it works, it's okay. And if he got any errors in it, well, you know, he learned from his mistakes to do better in the farm and so on. But most of the people full of the people in years gone by, used to look at farmers something quite inferior. You know this, Baba. Even now, most farmers, especially the small ones, it can hardly make a nice little house with it.
That's true.
Some people take quite a couple of years, you know, building is always a little, and then the crop grows on next year, then next year buy a couple hundred feet of lumber, and the crop, the price goes down again, you can't buy no zinc, and you just keep on like that. Then the foods are quite expensive. The food that they planted, they're expensive in the town places. But when the merchant comes to buy the food, they pay a small price. So what they work for very just along the cocoa and everything.
People who are farmers here have been talking, or the people in the agency have been talking about diversifying the crops, saying that, you know, we shouldn't depend just on cocoa
just
in this
cocoa
area. What do you think about that?
It's good, but as I told you before, you can't depend on the oil. Most farmers here are fast farmers. So it takes a farmer from between 25 to 40 years of age to do good farming. It pays. Those that are older, they might have good ideas. But Costa Rica is not like the United States, where an old farmer can get good technical aid and financing and can administrate it right.
But do you think that the idea behind diversifying the crops, like say, have some cocoa but have some plantain and have some
bananas,
or something like that?
Any other crop, coconut or so on, the coconut will soon be eliminated on the beach, I think, in a couple of years.
Why do you think so?
Well, if it's going to be a national park, tourist zone, after, you know, so many people in the coconut farms, during the crops, somebody's going to get killed. Then they will have to substitute the coconut tree for pine.
You think that pine
up? Quite possible. That's one of the best ways to change it. I mean, it eliminates that much danger. And you know pine grows almost everywhere. It grows as good here as it grows in Canada. But all the time,
so it would just be planted out there to look pretty, but not to
eliminate danger. Somebody gets knocked out by coconut. There are so many tourists getting knocked out by coconut.
But if that happens just in the national park area, there's still coconut walk all the way down this back beach.
Maybe, yeah, but the problem is that in a couple of years, I told you, most of us won't be having any this year. There will be a couple that have, but most won't. Maybe you can see.
Because of the tourist development.
Take for instance, if I wanted to buy a piece of coconut farm on the beach, I wouldn't be able to pay 20 or 30,000 colones for one hectare. Somebody from outside with very power, with much pleasure, I expect to make even more than that. But I can't. I might have the idea, but I don't have the money for it. And those people that can sell for that price, they're willing to sell it out and invest their money in something else.
And they won't care about the income from the coconut because...
Yeah, they won't care much about coconuts as long as they can buy oil and maybe they got a smart piece to keep them from buying coconuts. So it's even much easier. Take for instance, Dolly, he doesn't have a coconut farm on the beach here, but he has a little old house that his father gave him. Father got old, couldn't work anymore, so he went to live in London. He left him here. He got a good offer for his flat. So he sold it. They bought some areas, they look more in it. truth out. But you never get the peace on it. It is true that he lives a lot better than when he was down there. But that's the only way out of the other, to give up something to get something else.
What do you think about this whole national park business?
Well, national parks, to me, is quite interesting. The problem is that's of the older set of people, especially those that live around here for many years, don't understand the reason for a national park. It is true that for many years we have lived here, have this place and we haven't destroyed them. We have them until now, but the reason why it's there until now is we couldn't work them. I have even had an idea how to work it and get the money. And that's the reason why the swamps and those caraway trees and those reefs and everything is there. Maybe if lots of people around here did have the money, there wouldn't be any place for a national park.
If they had the money, they would use it for what?
For so many things, Paula. As you know, they did with the Everglades in Florida. The same thing would be done here. Even part of the reefs would be used up. It would be dumped up. They would build on it. The swamp would be drained and dumped and built upon. Tourist resort, recreation areas, and so on. Artificial lakes are fun and such, but the problem is that road never permits a foreigner coming in to make as much of an offer. I thought they were maybe two companies tried, two foreign companies had been tried. So, 5 plus 7, which is national park, right now, just before. But they didn't get the project.
That was for a tourist kind of hotel?
That's right. Mm-hmm. For tourism, so. You know what tourist resort is like. So that was the money's problem. They stayed how much money they made in Cologne to spend entire year and so on. The National Park started making claims. Well, I think National Park is the chief thing that the children are supposed to learn what's the national park, what's it for, what you can learn from it, what services can give to the community. Is it a dog in the wild?
What service do you think it can give to the
community? Well, say, for instance, the creeks that empty are down in these marshlands. It provides lots of feed for the fishes that live on the seas. Say, for instance, the small shrimps, crayfish, and so on. Wash up by the animals. Smaller fishes come and feed upon these sand. Come from the chain of life. So these marshlands produce food for other living species that live in the sea. I serve as a part of the food chain. But if all these lands are being dumped up by the fishes, would go further down, the reef would be almost destroyed because everything goes where it gets better. So it wouldn't be a bit harsh on it, but in town, and what you call it? One wood, and empty other seals in the sea, and so on, that's what you can get. Plus, lots of big industry might bring to lots of money. But in the long run, it brings a lot of destruction.
So, you think that even with the destruction of the carbon rock, which will probably come as a result of the national park, that it balances out as being
still a national park? Yeah, I think the only difference is people should be thinking about it from right now, trying to look at it. the easy way that they used to throw bicycles. You just go to a piece of land on the beach, and maybe you say, okay, I want from this tree here to around 600 meters down the road. I have things here. Yeah, it's not in their coconut, taking care of it because I need an image. I know you just look at the piece of the beach and say, oh, I should be doing this. I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm supposed to be doing this. And like, years gone by, you see dinner, coconut trees, nobody's working here. You just go, you cut down the place, and you claim, make a claim. You see that you finish back in order to feed. Oh, there's a period there.
Do you think coconut will still be a good crop if the climate is like in the cocoa farms?
I've never seen coconut in the started very low there. That is a national country. I know it from Texas each. That is something that I need. It doesn't take much work to take care of it. It always bears, it doesn't take much manure. It can do well with manure or fertilizer. You have not obligated to eat. Whether you're playing it or not, that is fair. Whether you're sleeping or you're standing or you're around the coconut, your heart is dropping.
Were you here when the Quanta Province started improving?
No, I wasn't here in those years. It was way back and I was there. It was in the
1950s. Were you here when the municipal indictment started?
Yeah, I was there. Something around the city. Somewhere around it.
Only 1971. How did they have that first election? Was it a
war? During the first election, for the Liberation Party, you had a president, William Thomas, and Robert Brown, the vice president. From the Education Party. I was a
And that was when the office was here in the building.
Yeah, we had an office here. And we used to have a meeting in the prison.
Meetings you went up to bring before, but the office?
Oh, yeah, in the meeting.
Who was it who decided that it was time for the top market to have a municipal
government? There was a project on the board. I think in the municipal interim was president at the time when he started a campaign to have the Talamanca farm to become.
That was in the 60s.
Yeah, I think it was in the 60s. That was in the 60s.
But it was the people from here who were interested in having that done?
Yeah,
the people
from here and Fortuna. Fortuna, Cabrita, and the whole of the world government.
Is Fortuna also in Taiwan? Is that a
government? No, there are Phoenix coming back.
So it it was in 1960. So those people were already meeting, almost like a municipal government, they're meeting to talk about problems of the...
Of the current, the present economy. So the world is, we were participating in the current Alberta, Francis Buchanan, Rafael Guarros, the Rose Rockefeller, and Alyssa Samara.
Okay, so those were the people who were meeting in this regional association. And that, so that included this whole area also, not just the
Windsor.
Is Windsor in Talamanca?
Yeah, Talamanca is being derived from the Pacific Bridge.
But that association, the regional association, started around when?
I was
Okay, but that's interesting. I haven't known that history. So the first election was in 1970, to begin in 71, and then the second election was
74.
And so the next election will be 78. Do you remember when the dispensary
started
down here? Was that a municipality project?
For a municipality project.
They built this one, and did they also build the one in Puerto Viejo?
No, Puerto Viejo, the land of the one I came here, the land was finished. It's been for a couple of years, 16 years, nobody has been in the country. And a long time after that, the intelligence from the Mennonite mission came. He was doing good when he came here. They really did some wonderful
job. Yes.
So it was a real observation, and it's a really good job.
This one started in about 1972. And did the money come from the
municipality? Yeah. We have to make sure that there is a certain amount of finance from the
And also the Rural Guard Foundation that was built about the
same time. Same time, of course.
In 1962. Is that right?
72. Then 19. Because of the Nazis, 72.
Were there other projects that were main projects of the municipality during those years?
Like? Started off with 71. It was one of the first projects that were being presented at the So it started out recorded for, I think maybe it's something around 2,000 kilometers. It started out with this, so we did most of the movies at the time with Governor Municipal Executive at the time. So, for the county of Talamanca, we had got some money, I don't know how it comes and got it, but there was some money in the municipality that it was invited to Talamanca to buy a motor plant. And from then on, we started to get financing to get a bigger motor. So we were not at 2,000 kilometers, so we keep buying up, keep doing something around it. So. I just ran out of mass for the different enterprises. Getting us some money for the city. even though I was just starting out with raising chickens. You know, I had the idea before. There was a guy from Virginia, he was in the team, he was quite a nice fellow, and he showed me how to raise chickens. So I really liked the adventure, so I started out. So I figured, I'm going to make it a little better. So when I had a good bunch of chickens, that's when this town came in. And the road washed out, somewhere on the road, the town said, washed out, and the others were way over the road, and it took them 3 months to build the road, then I could get them chicken. Then I was in the mess, and I grated coconut and the juice of those chickens, and you can just imagine, see everybody reading first, you know. Instead of this, putting on weight, they were losing weight, and they were reading first, they were dead. I said, what can I do now? I started giving them rice, and I ate a little rice, and then the car started to blow up. So I said, what can I do? Then I bought some cinnamon and gave them first to my kids. Wow, some little things. And finally, well, most of them died out. A couple of them left. Until we started getting a little bit further off in the back. So I said, I won't take any more chances. Raising no more fire chicks. Then I see we got a road and bridge and everything.
What kind of chicks were they, bro?
Fire chicken.
Yeah, I don't know what kind
that is. Those things were roasted and fried and so on.
Broiler? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but.
Yeah. I forget these words, but. In that storm, how many buildings washed away in Pennhurst? I know there were some.
When it's washed twice. I really don't remember. Let's see if I can remember the first building that being washed away. Yeah, I remember now. They were washed away in Pennhurst. Half of the houses washed out. This lady, Miss Bonifacio. Half of her building, she had an house here, had been washed away.
But half, like, what?
Yeah, it's cut like a pie. And the kitchen was hanging in the air with it, with all the stairs there hanging over the wall. So they knocked on that house and left the rest of the house still hitched up on the back. This guy, Mr. Carr, and Mr. Grant, he had a this cocoa dryer here, I had some money, lost the part of it. That's about it. And after, then the second floor, that's the one that would read the words. It washed away, it washed away, which was born in upstairs house, it washed away one of her son's building, another fisherman that had a building just beside it. Everything was on the right here, just in the background. It washed away too. Then the what you call delegation washed away the school and the church. But the teacher's house was washed away.
And that was the second one, the second flood came how long ago after the first one? Just a few days or?
Six months.
Oh, that long?
Just that's the time it really took everything else. But that rain didn't last so long. It rained maybe from around 4 o'clock one evening. And it eased up somewhere around 8 o'clock at night. And in the morning it started raining again about 9 o'clock. Then we heard that the arm was a bit pushed.
But the first rain, it used to rain for days.
It rained for days, but it didn't do that much damage. It only started out the job, but the last one, it was finished. Now, living in Lebanon, that was before I knew Kaweta, because I didn't grow around here. What I really knew about the place is that usually everybody used to think that I was a guy from Cali that's supposed to have a cocoa farm, and he's supposed to have money.
I'm supposed to be rich?
Yeah, he's supposed to have a cocoa farm, and he's supposed to have money. That's what most everybody used to think. But I bought the thieves, you know, everywhere, even back when I lost fingers anywhere to go. And here were some guys that didn't stay around much anywhere at all. But they used to steal cocoa. But they never were direct from here. They used to move from one place to the other. But lots of them were being caught here, especially by Carlos Mon. You know them, Carlos Mon. But those days, he was what you call a police agent. But here, he got a lot of it cleared up, but the reputation as a Denver team. So.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, because I didn't know what to think when they told me that. Everybody used to say that it was such a tranquil place, you know, and that the people always left their gates open and their houses open, and
sure, until they the Dallas Sanders near. He sometimes the house open, he goes to the farm and he works and he comes home. We never lived there yet, so you don't know that house was there all alone after the day. He never got the problem. The most problem is sitting around here where you don't go. Then you know you always have some ability. I heard there were a guy, I think he was somewhere in the arenas. He came around and he was just in close, quite close to the behind the line. Maybe it was some kind of a fetish, you know. So he used to simply pull out. Then you had another guy used to, maybe he was making some kind of a collection, he used to stick in touch box. Yeah, he gets in the kitchen and he will hunt all around the kitchen, and when he finds a Dutch box with him, so when they caught him finally, he had to have quite a number of pots. The problem is that he never took the name of the brand that was in the
steel. It just seems like it would have been so hard in those days with the train. I mean, anybody who was stealing anything, he had to go from here back to the mall. And I mean, even with cocoa, how did they steal cocoa
from the people in the front door? Well, the cocoa was easier, even now, instead of using the energy from cocoa merchants, they participate in paying the lower price because you know, it's still so much cocoa.
But then it's still
bad. Then I started cocoa, so it's very cheap.